It's 7:05 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. It's 47. Cloudy, some fog. Good morning. I'm Mark Jacobs. Davis Allen's got traffic on the fives.
Yes, and taking a look at the roadways right now, we do have an accident going eastbound Highway 98 through Wind Haven Beach. This is in front of where the Happy Donut is located. This is backing up delays all the way to the Wind Haven Animal Hospital. So this is backing up pretty extensively so far, so be ready to expect these delays and use caution when you're driving through Wind Haven Beach eastbound this morning. Now taking a look at Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge. So far checking in clear along with I-10 and I-110. And no delays to report from the front gate of NAS Pensacola. Now, if that changes, feel free to let me know at 2626-111. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
In northern portions of Escambia County, Sunday afternoon,
holy,
an explosion at a compressed natural gas fueling station on Pine Forest Road destroyed at least five sanitation trucks. That audio from dash cam video sent to Channel 3 by a man at the nearby Walmart. ECUA's Natalie Bowers says damage to another two or three trucks is being evaluated. About a half dozen others have some damage like broken windshields. There are about 50 CNG-powered sanitation and recycling trucks in the fleet. Bowers says there should be no impact to collections. People felt or heard that explosion as far away as Cantonment and Pace. Nobody was hurt, though. New wastewater treatment facility coming to the city of Milton. Groundbreaking ceremony held over the weekend on that $40 million project. City Manager Randy Jorgensen telling Channel 3 the new plant will be able to process at least 6 million gallons of wastewater a day.
It is the solution to what is a significant problem economically and environmentally. It's the silver bullet.
The city's current facility can process up to 2.5 million gallons a day, but it's expected to reach capacity in 2 years. Plans for a new morgue in Northwest Florida moving ahead, however slowly. Leaders of the four counties served by the District 1 State Medical Examiner now banding together to find a location for a new facility and money for the larger facility design. Santa Rosa County Administrator and Morgue Steering Committee Chair Dan Shebler telling Channel 3 they'll have to rely on $500,000 from Tallahassee to get the project off the ground.
Funding from the state legislature will allow us to kickstart that process and then look for the capital construction funding later this year.
Early estimates show it could cost about $20 million to build the new morgue. An accident Saturday in Santa Rosa County claims a life. FHP says a 32-year-old Milton woman headed west on Sterling Way was trying to refasten the safety belt on her 6-year-old. As a result, she crossed the center line, hit another vehicle being driven by a 61-year-old Pace woman who died as a result of her injuries. An Escambia County man charged with a fatal stabbing Saturday night. 32-year-old Corey Bates charged with homicide and the death of a 50-year-old man in Bellevue. Chance for some storms later today across the area. That's going to be followed by a lot colder air moving in. Wintry weather possible to our northwest in parts of Mississippi and Alabama. That colder air is going to push into our area overnight tonight into tomorrow. Wind chills by tomorrow morning in our area in the teens. Now here's that WEAR weather forecast.
We saw a chilly start along the Gulf Coast. Temperatures will be warming today, that high near 58 degrees. As we head into the afternoon, showers and thunderstorms likely. We will be seeing a chance for severe weather, that main threat being gusty winds with a brief isolated tornado. As you go overnight, we will be seeing those temperatures drop into the 20s, even seeing teens closer towards Mobile. Very cold night, wind chill values between 15 and 20 degrees. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
47 in Pensacola, 51 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton at 7:09. Our next news at 7:30 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
When President Trump wants to stop something, he does so simply, easily, quickly. But aside from four tweets and a short clip during the over 5 hour long attack, he did nothing.
One, why did President Trump not tell his supporters to stop the attack on the Capitol as soon as he learned of it? Why did President Trump do nothing to stop the attack for at least 2 hours after the attack began?
So what's interesting about this, if you listen, the first is Joe Neguse from the House managers, and the second is Raskin, the main House manager, is they both said the exact opposite thing. Neguse said, why did he only send out a handful of tweets? And Raskin says, why did he do nothing? Was it nothing or was it a handful of tweets? I mean, you know, those are two different allegations. So which one was it? Now, I will agree from the start that I think the president could have done more and should have done more. No question. But he didn't do nothing. And what he did do in the middle of all this was to say, you know, be calm. Stay peaceful, just like he said when he was actually giving the speech at the rally before the march down toward the Capitol. And this is something that Bruce Castor pointed out.
What they don't tell you and didn't tell you, and which you probably don't know, because I think I'm the first one to say it in this forum, is at 2:38, President Trump urged protesters at the U.S. Capitol to, quote, stay peaceful, please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful. And before we run the graphic, I just want to point out to you, President Trump's speech ended at 1:11 p.m. So at 2:38 p.m., by the time word reaches the president that there's a problem down here, he's out urging people to support the police, stay peaceful, support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are on the side of the country. Stay peaceful.
Which you remember in the speech itself, he said, go down there and peacefully and patriotically, right? He said that in the speech. And when he used the fight language, every single time he used the fight language, it was not an inducement to violence. Every single time in connection, it was very standard political speech. I know the other side presented it very much out of context without any mention of what he meant, as if to say over and over and over again, if you properly contextualize a common political metaphor, that's not good enough. The fact that you use that common political metaphor over and over again sent the message that you wanted people to get involved in the fight, which, again, with the Brandenburg concept of three things you got to test speech against for incitement to riot, they failed the first prong, which is, did the speech actually encourage either explicitly or implicitly violence? And the answer is no, it didn't. But it wasn't just that tweet at 2:38.
At 3:13 p.m., President Trump urged protesters at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Respect the law and our great men and women in blue. 3:13 p.m.
So, two tweets definitively saying, stay peaceful, respect law enforcement. Early after the attack had started, which elements of the attack actually started while he was giving his speech before it had ended. So to blame it on the speech is also a mistake. Could he have done more? Absolutely. Should he have done more? Absolutely. But are these tweets compatible with the idea that he intended and wanted and incited violence? No, because that story just doesn't hold up. Now, again, I've said this before. I've been saying this all morning. I'm, you know, on vacation last week, so I didn't get a chance to talk about any of this stuff. But having watched the impeachment, I take away that there are two stories. Story number one is President Trump brought a bunch of people to the Capitol with the intent of creating violence in order to keep his office. Story number two is President Trump brought a bunch of people to the Capitol with the intent of peacefully protesting an election and trying to encourage by numbers senators to disqualify the votes in certain states so that he could stay president. One's lawful, one's unlawful. One is perfectly within the Constitution. The other one is abjectly violating the Constitution. Which story? Well, it's not at 100%. I go 70 to 80% in favor of the peaceful one. Had he done more, had he been more clear and adamant, I think you could make the case that they're silly, the arguments that they're making. But there's something on their side. There's just not enough to convict. There's certainly not enough to convict in a criminal case. 4-3-7-16-20. Could he have foreseen? Maybe. Should he have known better? dicey. That's dicey. Okay. Is he responsible for the violence? If you tell, let's say, 20,000 people, nobody knows for sure, but that's a fairly small size guess, 10 to 100,000 people. If you tell 20,000 people to go march peacefully to the Capitol, encourage their senators to do something that they're not likely to do, but that you want them to do, and then 800 out of that 20,000 go and riot and violate the Capitol, and some of them had already done it who weren't at the speech, are you responsible for their behavior? I say no. Some of the senators disagreed. Many Americans disagree. Many Americans think he's not responsible, right? But that's the point. 437-1620, 437-1620. Bruce, you had a thought about the impeachment process?
Yeah, I watched the most of it. I felt like I was watching A Few Good Men for the 39th time, you know, kind of every other night on my cable system.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is the line, facts not in evidence, it kind of crops up often in the movie A Few Good Men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I felt when the House managers were speaking. Everything they were talking about was kind of like facts not in evidence. And I thought Raskin's analogies, fire chief, fire in a crowded space, and all the other fire analogies that he made were very silly, as you said, or the word you just used. And they were just futile arguments. So I didn't think they proved their case. And I'm glad Donald John Trump was acquitted.
Yeah, that's where I came away with it as well. There was a lot of, you know, kitchen sink tactics by the prosecution and some by the defense, quite frankly. But repetition, it wasn't 16 hours worth of prosecutorial material. It was because they didn't do the investigation properly. And so they rushed this in and they only really had about 3 or 4 hours worth of evidence that they managed to cram into 16 hours. And it was repetitive and unhelpful. And as you say, they did not prove their case. Bruce, thanks so much for the call. 437-1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, and let's take a look at what's going on. Windhaven Beach, Highway 98. This is going eastbound. Accident over in front of the Happy Donut. This is causing delays to back up back into Navarre now. So let's definitely use caution and be ready to expect these delays. Also going westbound as a result of this accident, it appears that it's a little delayed, backed up around the area of the McDonald's if you're going westbound through Windhaven Beach. Nowhere near as significant for the eastbound direction, but just something to keep an eye on. Traveling along Highway 87, it is flowing smoothly. 9 Mile Road, Avalon Boulevard, and Garcon Point Bridge, all these roadways checking in clear, as well as Highway 90 through Pace and Milton, and I-10, I-110, and the front gate of NES Pensacola are all checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So, you know, whenever you've got time, somebody will find a way to use your time, right? And so for a lot of you, you know, that means honeydew tasks. And honeydew tasks are, you know, look, that, you know, happy spouse, happy life, right? That's true. So if you're the kind of person that doesn't particularly love to do construction things, guess what? Pensacola Hardware can help you because that's what they love to do. They specialize in it. And they understand not everybody loves to do this stuff. On the other hand, if you're somebody who's like, it's my task, it's not a honeydew, I'm the honeydew. I want to do this. It's important to me. They can help you too. Every time you do stuff like this for the first time, you're always going to run into problems. You're going to need things, and you're going to need advice, and you're going to need help solving the problem, and just basic supplies that you do to do your tasks, your home improvement things. Who can help you? Pensacola Hardware. They've been helping people just like you build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 170 years. It's amazing how long they have been doing this. Honestly, they've been doing it for an awfully long time. So if you've got a home improvement project of any kind, stop by 20 East Gregory and find out how the folks at Pensacola Hardware can help you.
Deliberate over your decision. There are four distinct grounds under which you must acquit my client. First is jurisdiction. There is no jurisdiction. And if you believe that, you still get to say it.
Former officials are not listed in the Constitution as legitimate targets of an impeachment hearing. President, vice president, and officials in office, he's not any of that, so no jurisdiction was the argument by Michael Van Der Veen.
Two, Rule 23. It had to be divisible. Each allegation had to be singularly set out in front of you so it could be voted on and to see if two-thirds of you think that they proved that case or not. They didn't do that. You got to ask yourself why. They know the Senate rules. They got them, and so did I.
Impeachment articles have to be separate so that you're voting up or down on a single subject, and the impeachment article included at least two different things. The Georgia Raffensperger stuff thrown in with the incitement to riot, those are separate things, and you can't get, you know, 40 senators to vote on the incitement and 40 senators to vote on the Georgia stuff and make 80. It doesn't work that way according to the Senate rules.
Due process. I've exhausted that subject. It's a really good reason for all of you in this chamber.
He's a big pauser, by the way.
To stop the politics, to read the Constitution and apply it to this proceeding, and acknowledge that the lack of due process, way over the top, shocking. And you must not stand for it.
It's a little reminiscent of listening to Obama speeches with those long pauses in there. But yeah, the due process of not having the evidence to look at until the trial had already started, not having, you know, pretrial, not being able to do all of your depositions and discussions and discovery and motions and just all of that, let alone the questions of process in the hearing itself and what rules are supposed to govern, what things would be admissible. And then, well, anyway, okay. And the fourth reason.
And of course, the First Amendment, the actual facts of this case. There were no words of incitement. Four grounds. Nobody gets to tell you which ground to pick, and nobody gets to tell you how many grounds to consider.
And that's if you granted the other three and didn't care about them and just looked at the question of incitement to an insurrection. Well, if you looked at the Brandenburg test, you wouldn't get there because they clearly failed on one and two. You could argue three, but they clearly failed on one and two. 724 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
The rollout of coronavirus vaccines cutting down the spread of COVID. Figures from Sunday showing worldwide infections totaled more than 2.76 million last week. That's down from the peak of more than 5 million during the first week in January. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell voting to acquit the former president, but also says he's morally responsible. McConnell also blasting Trump for using his supporters as a distraction.
74 million Americans did not engineer the campaign of disinformation and rage that provoked it. One person did. Just one.
And that one person, according to McConnell, was Trump, who he says can still be held accountable in court.
And I said before, I'll say again, I think McConnell's speech at the end was probably the most interesting thing that happened in the whole five-day process. I'm going to talk about his speech a lot coming up in about 10 minutes. Go ahead, Mark.
A Florida woman whose father crafted the first Lombardi trophy says Tom Brady owes her an apology for this.
Big old boat parade. Wait, no, don't, no! Good. Okay. Touchdown.
Lorraine Gross, the daughter of master silversmith Greg Gross, says Brady disgraced and disrespected the trophy when he tossed it across the river to teammate Rob Gronkowski during last week's boat parade. It was a completed
pass.
Yeah,
it was a shovel pass. Yeah. That was a completed shovel pass. It was like an option, you know?
Was it a forward pass or was it a...
No, it was a shovel.
Okay.
It was a two-handed shovel. It would have been a legal pass.
Was it legal?
But the most important part, and I say it's simple. What's on the top of the Lombardi trophy?
A silver football.
A football.
He threw a football.
With this big other part attached to it that could have
I don't know how you get upset about a quarterback throwing a football.
I think it would have been much more entertaining if it had gone in the water to see how many people go in.
Yeah. That would have been funny. That would have been great. Or if he'd have put some spin on it, you know?
Yeah.
Either the rotational spin or the, you know, revolutionary spin. Either one would have been kind of interesting. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. 726 Davis Allen, time for traffic.
Yeah, and just getting you updated on what's going on Highway 98. There's an accident that has happened right in front of the Happy Donut, continuing to back up delays going in eastbound traffic, almost to the Walmart now. So as you're passing the Walmart on Highway 98 in Navarre, you're going to meet these delays soon. And also as you're going westbound, it has caused some delays as a result, backed up around the area of the McDonald's there through Windhaven Beach. Now taking a look at Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge, these roadways still checking in clear, and I-10 I-110, as well as the front and back gates of NES Pensacola, they're flowing smoothly. And this report's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Over 40 years of service, they're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
All right, so you hear me talking about Southeast Air Shuttle, and you think to yourself, well, I don't fly for business. What does that mean to me? Well, okay, here's an idea. It's cold in Pensacola right now. I mean, you know, cold enough. Cold for us, right? Is it cold in Key West? Not as much. It's kind of a nice place. And so you think to yourself, well, you know, a weekend getaway to Key West just to hang out, you and your sweetie, and then come back, nice and convenient. Well, the trouble, the travel, the difficulty, okay, all right. Southeast Air Shuttle. Friday afternoon, after work, you can climb in the plane. Captain Eric will take you down there in a couple of hours. You can be there in time for the, you know, the sunset. You can be there in time for happy hour. Then on Sunday, he'll wait for you there. And on Sunday, he can bring you back, and you can be ready for the work week next week. See, that's the kind of freedom. That's the kind of opportunity that you have with Southeast Air Shuttles. You can fly when you want, where you want, not when you're told. Find out more at flysoutheast.com. Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I've been posting up on our webpage, on our Facebook page, News Radio 92.3. Members, a lot of good news. All the trends are in the good direction. Objectively, the situation is still bad, but it is getting better all the time. One just side note is the CDC has now put out guidance saying to wear two masks, except for the KN95 mask. The short version of this is if your breath moves the mask in and out and you don't feel air escaping, then it's good. If your mask doesn't move and the air goes around the sides, that's not good. You're not really protected.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. It's first day of a special enrollment period for health care.
Americans in the market for health insurance now have 3 months to check out offerings on healthcare.gov. The president ordered the special enrollment period last month in an effort to help people who've lost employer-sponsored health care during the pandemic. The Biden administration is expected to spend $50 million to get the word out about the enrollment period.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland.
President Biden says his $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief plan would decrease premiums and increase subsidies to make health insurance more affordable.
A dangerous winter storm is blanketing the southern plains with snow and ice and unplugged thousands across Texas, where officials have initiated rotating power outages. Thousands of flights across the country have been canceled. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. It's 47 and cloudy. Some fog, a little drizzle this morning. I'm Mark Jacobs. An explosion and fire Sunday afternoon at an ECUA compressed natural gas fueling station on Pine Forest Road destroys at least 5 sanitation trucks. This was the sound captured by video surveillance at nearby Gary Sapp Automotive. ECUA spokeswoman Natalie Bauer says there was damage to another 2 or 3 trucks still being evaluated, and about a half dozen more have got other damage like broken windshields. Some 50 CNG-powered sanitation recycling trucks in the fleet. There was no impact to collections, and people heard or felt that blast as far away as Cantonment and Pace. Nobody hurt, though. President Biden pushing for reforms to the nation's gun laws on the third anniversary of the deadly school shooting in Parkland. 17 people killed in that shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School on Valentine's Day 2018. Biden releasing a statement yesterday calling for background checks on every gun sale. Also wants a ban on assault-style weapons and no more immunity for gun manufacturers. No new COVID-19 deaths, along with 62 additional cases in Escambia County Sunday. Santa Rosa County recorded two new deaths and 55 cases. Hospitalizations in Escambia County at 125 as of yesterday. The state added more than 5,400 new cases and 96 new deaths. Florida gas prices went down a couple of pennies last week. Average price for a gallon of gas declining 2 cents, but still up about a quarter since January 1st. Florida drivers now paying an average of $2.46. Mark Jenkins at AAA says prices could eventually hit $2.60 a gallon in the upcoming weeks as refineries prepare to switch to summer blend gasoline. Escambia County officials consider an ordinance to allow stores to sell alcohol on Sunday mornings countywide. If approved, that new ordinance would allow alcohol sales between 6 a.m. and 2:30 a.m. every day of the week. Escambia County Commission will hold a public hearing on that ordinance on Thursday morning. You can run, but you can't party. The 44th annual McGuire's 5K will take place this year, but the massive after party that traditionally follows it will not. McGuire's Irish Pub says the annual 5K will be capped at just 5,000 runners this year. Typically, it brings 10,000 to 13,000 people downtown. The online registration form for the event, which will take place on March 13th, can be found on the McGuire's website. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
We saw a chilly start along the Gulf Coast. Temperatures will be warming today, that high near 58 degrees. As we head into the afternoon, showers and thunderstorms likely. We will be seeing a chance for severe weather, that main threat being gusty winds with a brief isolated tornado. As you go overnight, we will be seeing those temperatures drop into the 20s, even seeing teens closer towards Mobile. Very cold night, wind chill values between 15 and 20 degrees. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
47 in Pensacola, 51 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton at 735. Traffic on the fives now. Here's Davis Allen.
Just to follow up on that accident, Highway 98, in fact, it's involving multiple vehicles, and all this is also causing delays. First off, it's eastbound starting at the Happy Donut. Westbound's also showing delays, backed up where the McDonald's is located. So this is backing up traffic all the way near... see this roadway. It's Whispering Pines Boulevard is where we're seeing these delays get backed up to. So it's pretty significant. So use caution when you're in this area. Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge still checking in clear this morning. Also Gulf Breeze Parkway reporting no delays. And the front and back gates of NAS Pensacola are all flowing smoothly, along with I-10 and I-110. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Our next news at 8 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Senators, how say you? Is the respondent Donald John Trump guilty or not guilty? A roll call vote is required, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McConnell. Mr. McConnell, not guilty. Mr. Menendez. Mr. Romney. Mr. Romney, guilty. Mr. Rubio. Mr. Rubio, not guilty. Mr. Scott of Florida. Mr. Scott of Florida, not guilty.
The yeas are 57. The nays are 43. Two-thirds of the senators present not having voted guilty. The Senate judges that the respondent, Donald John Trump, former president of the United States, is not guilty as charged in the article of impeachment.
There you go. That was it. Seven senators went to vote to convict. That means they would have voted. They can't remove because they're out of office, but presumably they would have then voted to disqualify from future office, but that did not happen. So 43 was enough to keep him from being disqualified from future office. You'll note that Mitch McConnell, the now minority leader, although it's even, but still minority leader because of Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, he voted to acquit. He voted not guilty. And then when it was all said and done, it was kind of funny because Chuck Schumer, it was so interesting because Schumer got up and gave a big speech about how atrocious and a miscarriage of justice and how the evidence clearly proves and all this super like his side partisan. McConnell got up and made Schumer look like a... I don't have a good noun I can use here on the FCC rules. But he made him look bad. He made him look bad because he gave such a different speech. He did not give a speech defending the president at all. In fact, as I said before, I thought that the McConnell speech was probably the most interesting thing that happened. Here's how it began. And I'm not going to play it all. You really ought to watch it. Okay, I don't think you'll agree with it all the time. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But you ought to watch it. It was the most interesting thing that happened in the entire impeachment hearing. When it was all over and Trump got acquitted, here's what McConnell started off saying.
January 6th was a disgrace. American citizens attacked their own government. They used terrorism to try to stop a specific piece of domestic business they did not like. Fellow Americans beat and bloodied our own police. They stormed the Senate floor. They tried to hunt down the Speaker of the House. They built a gallows and chanted about murdering the Vice President. They did this because they'd been fed wild falsehoods by the most powerful man on earth. Because he was angry, he lost an election.
Now, see, a lot of people on social media kind of made the observation, he sounds like he's working for the prosecution. How then did he vote to acquit? Well, he gave an answer, okay? And his answer was, because that's what the Constitution says, and also because of the incompetence of the House prosecution case. I mean, he went on for quite some time talking about Trump's responsibility, that it was reprehensible, but that it didn't qualify as incitement.
Former President Trump's actions preceded the riot were a disgraceful dereliction of duty. The House accused the former president of, quote, incitement. That is a specific term from the criminal law. Let me just put that aside for a moment and reiterate something I said weeks ago. There's no question, none, that President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day. No question about it.
So, you see, he took a long time criticizing the president, saying this was foreseeable, saying that his lies caused this, saying that the leader of the free world cannot sit there repeatedly thundering, I'm using his words, the election was stolen without having consequences to it. And that even if he intended no violence, when violence happened, he didn't do enough to stop it. And the reports are that he gleefully watched. Now, I'll tell you, I personally, I'm not convinced those reports are accurate. I'm not convinced they're false either. If he was happy that this was happening, sitting there watching the TV, that's extremely concerning. That doesn't mean he intended it on the front end, though. But it does very much concern me about whether you believe he intended it on the front end. And it certainly isn't the right reaction after the fact. But nevertheless, he could have helped more. He didn't. He could have tweeted more frequently or more vociferously. He didn't. I mean, there's lots of things he could have done. I agree with McConnell about that. But here's the thing. The Constitution doesn't allow you to impeach. And I have changed my view on this. When I first heard the House managers make their case that he was susceptible to impeachment, I thought they were right and the defense was incompetent. And they were incompetent that night, last Tuesday. I think I've changed my mind now because of what McConnell said. Because the way he laid it out, he explained that constitutionally you can impeach a president, a vice president, or a sitting officer. The Constitution just doesn't give you the power to impeach a former. Because if you can impeach a former, you can impeach anybody. I think he's right about that. But he said, look, if he were still in office...
If President Trump were still in office, I would have carefully considered whether the House managers proved their specific charge.
Because remember what I played you before, the four ways to vote for acquittal? You know, if you'd vote that there's no jurisdiction here because the Constitution doesn't allow impeachment of a former officer, then you have to vote to acquit. Remember the whole January exemption thing, the idea that how then would you disqualify somebody for doing something awful just before the transfer of power, or somebody who resigned before you could bring impeachment? And again, you know, those are unfortunate. I agree with the sentiment. We'd like to be able to punish somebody. The question is, does the Constitution allow you to punish them? And the answer, again, I leaned the other way to begin with. And until McConnell's speech, I leaned that way. And then he's kind of persuaded me the other direction. He says it's probably not criminal incitement, but that's all moot now because he's out of office, right? That doesn't it matter. But the point was that if you allow the if you allow the Senate, if you allow the Congress to twist the Constitution in order to bring charges against for impeachment a former official, there's nobody. Because what's the limiting principle? I mean, I could be brought up to be disqualified from office. If they don't like the things I said, we say, well, I've never been an official. Okay, what does the Constitution say? President, vice president, or sitting officials. Former officials not listed. So if you can bring in something additional, former officials, why can't you bring in just anybody? And also, there was a brilliant question asked during the Q&A. It was the only question, frankly, during the entire Q&A that was worth asking, that was genuinely interesting. And it was asked by Josh Hawley and Senator Kramer.
Senator Hawley, on behalf of himself and Senator Kramer, send a question for the council and House managers.
If the Senate's power to disqualify is not derivative of the power to remove a convicted president from office, could the Senate disqualify a sitting president but not remove him or her?
What they're asking is, we're saying you can only disqualify somebody you've removed. You're saying you can disqualify somebody who can't be removed because they're no longer in office. Well, if that's the case, could you vote to impeach somebody who's a sitting officer and disqualify without removal? It's a great question. It's a brilliant question. And the answer is no, because as Justice Story taught, as McConnell quoted in his speech, removal first, then disqualification, and nothing else. If you can't remove, you can't disqualify, because that's not how the process works. That's not outlined in the Constitution. So he wrapped it up by saying, I still don't support anything that Trump did. It just means that in this case, we did our constitutional duty.
The Senate's decision today does not condone anything that happened on or before that terrible day. It simply shows that senators did what the former president failed to do. We put our constitutional duty first.
See, people will say, and I already got texts in from somebody saying, oh, he's just doing what he has to do politically. You know, he knows the truth. He's just... No. We actually believe in these rules. He also, by the way, criticized the House managers for bringing articles which they couldn't vote yes on because it didn't prove their case. But had they brought the right articles, maybe, he's saying. The point is, you have rules, you have to follow them. Even if you don't like them, even if you don't agree with them, even if philosophically you wish the rules didn't tell you what you had to do, you still have to follow them. That's what the rule of law means when it comes to the Constitution. Davis Allen now, traffic on the fives.
We do have an accident going on Highway 98 eastbound. This is in Windhaven Beach, right in front of the Happy Donut. This is also causing traffic delays as you are going westbound. This is backed up not nearly as far, backed up to about the McDonald's as you're approaching the accident. Now taking a look at Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge. It's flowing smoothly all morning long. Maybe it's the fog. Maybe it's the impending weather. Traffic is just more spaced out, but we're not seeing many delays along there. And I-10, I-110 are checking in clear. But like I had mentioned, it is very, very foggy out there. Let's keep those headlights on. Drive with extra caution. And if for some reason you're going to Louisiana today, going to Baton Rouge, well, avoid I-10 because there's ice on the roadways over there. Incredible. That weather is going to be working its way over here. It's going to get a little chilly later on today. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, employers and their employees are always concerned with the rising cost of benefits, especially health insurance. I mean, of course, it's a major cost, right? And so we're all looking for more economical and efficient payroll systems that aren't a one-size-fits-all approach that, you know, isn't some cookie-cutter thing that doesn't fit for us. And the folks at Torgerson Causey, they are good architects for employee benefit plans such as health insurance, dental, vision, life, and disability, HR tools and resources, and payroll options. And see, what happens is Torgerson Causey, they try to work with you if you're a business owner. They work with you. They develop customized solutions that create a good fit for businesses meeting your needs, your goals for local employers, often producing outcomes that result in better benefits, easier and more reliable payroll administration, and overall lower costs. We actually just went through this here because they now help us at ADX with our, News Radio, our parent company's ADX, with our benefits package. So if you're creating, trying to create a good benefits package and do payroll and all that kind of stuff, great service, locally owned and operated, celebrating their 20th year in business, Torgerson Causey. Call them today for a no-obligation review of your plan, 433-9996. That's 433-9996 or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Stuff. 752 here on News. Sorry, 753 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning. Post-second impeachment. They tried more than just that, but they got two of them through, right? And still didn't manage to successfully convict the president of the United States, now the former president of the United States. He put out a big message over the weekend, and just, the short version of it is thank you, and we'll be doing something in the future. That was kind of the message. Mark Jacobs in our newsroom this morning with the headlines. Mark.
Dr. Anthony Fauci giving Americans hopeful news about the impact of vaccines against the coronavirus variant from the UK.
The vaccine that we are now currently distributing, the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine, clearly work against this variant.
On ABC's This Week, Fauci added the best way to protect against any serious health risk is to make sure as many people as possible get vaccinated. Wintry weather causing a nightmare for travel across the country. Thousands of flights delayed or canceled because of a series of winter storms. The bulk of cancellations and delays have been for flights into and out of Dallas-Fort Worth thus far. NASA's Perseverance rover gearing up to land on Mars this week. Once it arrives Thursday, Perseverance will study the Martian environment and collect rock and soil samples, which it will then deliver back to Earth. It'll only take about a decade.
Well, I mean, that's if you believe we can actually go to space.
And that's, of course, by sending it to USPS.
Ouch. Wow. Emails to Mark Ed.
I'm sorry.
Nicely done. Mark, thanks so much for the update. Davis Allen, time now for a quick shot of sports.
Well, in case you missed it, the Daytona 500 happened yesterday. Eventually, long rain delay, but it did finish, and your winner...
And Michael McDowell from Glendale, Arizona.
Who's that?
For Bob Jenkins Front Row Motorsports has won the Daytona 500. How about that?
Michael McDowell came in at 101 odds, had never won a race in over 300 starts, wins his first career NASCAR race, and does it at the Daytona 500, which is considered the premier race for NASCAR. So congratulations to Michael McDowell. Also, congratulations to Jessica Pegula. So the Australian Open's happening, obviously, in Australia, and she's the daughter of the owners of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres. Well, she actually ended up winning her tennis match yesterday to move on to the quarterfinals. She had upset the fifth-ranked seed. I'll be honest, it's a Ukrainian name that
I'm not even going to try and say it,
but the unseeded American ended up winning, and she's moving on to the quarterfinals, also facing another American, Jennifer Brady, so good luck to them.
Isn't there some girl from Fort Walton area that's in the Australian Open this year?
Actually, I have no idea.
I thought I saw it on Channel 3 last night. I don't watch the news in detail for the sports part, but...
I'll have to look that up.
All right.
And Daniel Berger won the Pebble Beach AT&T Pro-Am. I'm Davis Allen with a quick shot of sports.
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
Another question. Yep. My second question of the segment.
Ask your question.
What is a saber?
Isn't it a sword?
No, I know what it... I know what the word means.
Mark's over there clapping, so I missed something here.
I can't continue.
Anyways, there's an accident.
There's a pro sports team called the Sabres?
Yes.
From Buffalo?
Yes.
What do they play?
Hockey.
Okay. Moving
yes.
along. it's kind of sore.
Anyways.
I'm so happy.
Andrews... Andrew's completely taken over. But no, there is an accident. But in all reality, there is an accident going on right now through Wind Haven Beach going eastbound. It's backed up all the way down to Whispering Pines Boulevard. It starts where the Happy Donut is located. So be ready to expect those delays. Use caution as you're traveling this morning. Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge still flowing smoothly. And I-10, I-110 checking in clear. I'm David Sound with the traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got any kind of plumbing issues at all, leak, drip, a weird sound on the wall when you flush the toilet, the pressure's bad, the heat is bad. What if it's related to water in your house? Barberry Plumbing, they can help you fix it. No questions, no surprises. Flat rate pricing, 477-8782 for Barberry.
Listening that feels like they want to go down a street in Holly by the Sea where there's nobody and dump a bunch of trash out, we're going to dig through that trash. And we're probably going to find you. And then you get to go before the judge and explain why you thought it was appropriate to dump garbage on the side of a road in Santa Rosa County. One group from Alabama decided it would be appropriate to dump shingles at the toll booth at the Garcon Point Bridge. And they got to come back and clean them up and go before the judge. Because there's cameras all over the place there.
That's Chris Phillips, Code Enforcement, Santa Rosa County, talking about, hey, when you dump stuff, guess what? We find you. So please don't. By the way, the kudos to ECUA. Our driver at ECUA picked up our recycling last week, Friday, and had to try dumping it like four times. It wouldn't come out because it was cardboard smashed in there, and the pincers grabbed it even worse. But he put it back down. He tried again and dropped it. I mean, just persistent to make sure that he got the trash collected. So kudos, you know? I always give a shout-out when something nice happens. We'll be back in a minute.
News, talk, traffic, and weather for Northwest Florida. News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, and Pensacola. It's 8 o'clock.
An explosion rocks parts of Escambia County on Sunday. Area officials trying to come up with a plan for a new morgue. And it's going to get cold out. Those stories after Fox News.